Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT Live at CES is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Special number 107, live from CES 2012, Day 2. Our TWiT Special today is brought to you by Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code CES1.
Live from CES 2012, Tom Merritt here with our continuing coverage. And Chris from Nyko joins us. You've got something from Yo Gabba Gabba here.
Right, we just announced today at the show that we're entering into a license agreement with Yo Gabba Gabba, which is a great kids property on Nick Jr. and teaching life lessons to young kids everywhere
through alien
and
monsters.
Right, and it's kind of transcended out of just the child demographic into more of this young adult kind of cult following. And they have
absolutely.
Traveling show, and they've partnered with other great companies to do everything from Kia Super Bowl commercials to a line of Vans shoes and things like that. So we're just the next who's kind of jumped on the Gabba Gabba bandwagon to produce some cool electronics accessories for it.
So this looks fantastic right here.
This is Muno time, and I must stress the Yo Gabba stuff is still in development, so some of this may change. It's not final yet.
That's the caveat at CES for people who don't know, is a lot of stuff that you see is prototypes, developments, concepts. Mm-hmm. There's all different stages. How close are we with this kind of stuff?
Both of these are looking to ship out sometime between spring and summer this year.
So not too far off.
Yeah, pretty good. These are both like handmade prototypes, but we should have off-tool samples fairly soon. So
it looks like there's a console or something in the
Muno Time essentially is a alarm clock, radio, and docking station for your electronic handheld peripherals. So
okay.
Right now we've got a DSi XL, or LL in here, or XL, I should say. And this actually has a well that accommodates varying electronics. So anything from the old DS, DS Lite, 3DS, PS Vita, as well as there's also a universal dock connector in here. So you can drop like an iPhone and iPod Touch into the dock itself. But it'll accommodate an electronic device up to a DSi XL.
Now how does it connect when it's sitting in there?
We have a various line of cables that will only be the exact length to go into the back of the DS or the 3DS or
DS Vita.
And
you just pick the one that goes with your device.
Exactly, the colored cables. And so once this is docked, this will recharge your device. Mm-hmm. And also you can play music, movies, and things like that on here. Flip this up to watch movies, either yourself or your kids or what have you. And the great thing about this is folks at Yo Gabba Gabba have given us free reign to use a lot of their great songs and sound clips from the show itself. So you'll notice these brightly colored buttons across the top. And these are all linked to the various cool characters on the show. And we have 2 to 3 songs per button, as well as the show's theme song, linked to them here. So, and Muno, I'll show you, as you play this, get a little music from Yo Gabba Gabba.
Nice.
And so it'll switch and play music based upon, stop this here.
Nice.
But, So essentially, this will dance to the song itself, and every time you hit this, just like this again, it'll be a different song at random. And there's up to 30 songs on here. And I can turn this down a little bit.
It does have a volume control. That's good.
So there'll be up to 30 songs, and some of which you can only get from by doing the alarm mode. This has a built-in Yo Gabba Gabba alarm mode, so you can wake up with the music from Yo Gabba. So it'll choose a song at random from the 30 that's inside the device itself.
So the idea is you can play around with it, have some fun, play some music.
Right,
you can also use it as your alarm tones, to speak. And then when you've got your device linked up, what kinds of interactions with the device can it do other than charging?
Other than charge it, you can also play music, like I said, any sort of audio out. It sync through here as well. So, watch movies, listen to music, and any audio. It also has a separate line in here So even if you have a device like an iPad that obviously won't fit in this device, you can still run a line in and listen to audio from those other devices as well.
Right. So it's essentially, you've got the same concept of a lot of alarm clock docks, like an iHome or something like that, but you've got Yo Gabba Gabba going
on.
And you've got these extra fun things like the song buttons. Any other features? I see the volume button here. What's on the other side?
Well, there's different modes here. Like if you flip between like 3DS.
Just make sure you're...
You've
got to be turned. This is a very directional mic, sorry.
So there's essentially there's different modes here for either DS or iPod. And also music, so you can change this. And like a lot of the same alarm and clock functionality, like you can set alarms as well as a different time and change dates and things like
that. So very cool. And what's the dial on that side? I can't...
Oh, this is tuned in for the radio. There's a built-in AM-FM radio as well.
Built-in AM.
Like any other alarm clock, you can wake up to the radio and set it if you don't want to listen to Tamuno sing to you.
Right. And do you have pricing information on it?
Not just yet, but we're gauging to have this priced around the same line as a normal iHome or other type of iPod or stereo dock.
Gotcha. Same range.
Yep.
That's fantastic. What else we got here?
Well, along the same lines of Yo Gabba Gabba, we have the Hip Pack. And this is Broby, another one of the popular characters from the show. And this is just designed to be an all-inclusive carrying bag for your electronics. So this has a couple different pouches on the inside. And this will fit anything, like I said, from a iPod Touch up to DS XL, and a couple different compartments so you can have your console in here and as well as your earbuds and your charging cable, but it won't knock up against each other or scratch.
Keep it organized.
Nice and
it,
padded and soft. Yeah. We also include a really cool Broby Party in My Tummy.
Very nice.
Themed screen so you can wipe the screen off of your electronics.
The screen up. And kids are so hard on gadgets, too. It's nice to give them something that at least... Hopefully help them try to protect them.
We always like to be more fun because it's such a cool and creative kids' property to try and bring some of that magic from the show to what normally would just be kind of mundane, accessories. So you can even change the mood of Broby if you want. Happy or sad. Very cute.
Comes with at least two moods.
Right.
And what's the price and availability on that? If you
We haven't announced final pricing, but it'll be available by summer.
By summer. All right, and what's the last thing we've got here?
A couple other things, more along the lines of our traditional... Traditionally, Nyko makes gaming accessories and peripheral, so that's why the compatibility with 3DS and PS Vita and such. So we do have a new line of Vita accessories that we're announcing at the show, one of which being our speaker dock. So this is just a very sleek audio dock, and it uses the port on the bottom of the PS Vita. So you can not just audio, but this will also charge. It uses the existing AC adapter from the PS Vita itself. And we've expanded into a line of Kindle Fire accessories.
Oh, wow, cool.
So this essentially is a standard like bumper case that you clip on to your Kindle Fire, but in the back here there's a rechargeable lithium-ion battery pack.
Oh,
so this will give you twice the battery time that you normally have on a Kindle Fire. Plus there is a built-in stand. Prop stand for either horizontal or vertical as well.
And do you have pricing and availability on these yet?
Yep, this will be $59.99. It should be out this spring. And this will be $29.99, and we're gauging this to be out for the U.S. launch of the PS Vita.
Right. It wouldn't be very much used before that.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much, Chris. This is really cool stuff. I'm familiar with Nyko mostly through like the Wii accessories and things like that you've done. It's nice to see expanding, especially the Kindle Fire. That's really cool. Any other lines that you weren't able to bring in that you want to tell people about?
We just have some refreshes on some colorways and things on things like for intercooler for the Xbox 360, new stealth version to match the new console color, as well as a couple other things for Vita and Fire that we're showing off at the booth. And we're just taking a look at other handhelds as well, like 3DS. We have new power kind of accessories to go along with that, similar to the stuff we've got for PS Vita too. So
we got the Yo Gabba Gabba clock radio. What's the name of the bag?
This is the Hip Pack.
Featuring Broby. And then do you have official names for those?
This is a Power Grip for Kindle Fire and Speaker Stand for PS Vita.
All right. Chris, thank you so much for stopping by. It's great talking to you.
Thank you.
And that is going to wrap it up for our long coverage today. We started at 10 a.m. live from the stage. We've been going all day long. First day of CES in the bag. We got three more days to go, though. We're not done. Lots of stuff to see. More than we could ever possibly cover. If you don't know, CES set a record for exhibitors this year. They think they'll probably set a record for attendees. I think the record's around 152,000. They think they're going to get past that. So not slowing down and a lot to tell you about starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. live from CES. Leo Laporte back on the stage with all kinds of products to talk about, all kinds of folks showing up and guests. This Week in Computer Hardware will be live from the stage at 11 a.m. 12:30 Home Theater Geeks. You know Scott is not going to stay away from this show, and he's got a lot to tell you about. That'll be going from 12:30 till 2:30. They'll be out on the floor, right? They're going to be walking around. You can't bring those home theaters to the stage, so they're going to be walking around taking a look at stuff. 2:30, we'll be back on the stage with Sarah Lane, myself, Ayaz Akhtar, and Simon Dingle will be joining us for Tech News Today. And then at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5:30, probably the best-looking cast in podcasting. It's all about Android, live from CES, and that'll wrap up our coverage. Tomorrow, we'll see you starting at 10 a.m. Pacific, live from CES 2012 on Tom Merritt.
Leo Laporte here on the, I'm going to call it a sky booth. Because look at this, we're up, we're in the sky. Pay no attention to those stairs down there. Alex Lindsay is with me, and we are here day two, which is often a difficult day for those who celebrated hard after day one.
I'm okay.
I was in bed at 9 o'clock, I'm happy to say. We were talking before we began about the dinner last night that Ford put on for a lot of tech journalists, Walt Mossberg, David Pogue, Veronica Belmont, and... Patrick Norton were there. Becky Worley was there. It was really a really interesting roundtable conversation. I just really enjoyed it. And I don't, you know, it was on the record, which was interesting. He was willing for everybody to talk about it, so I could talk about it a little bit. And maybe at some point we will. But it was just a lot of fun. So we had a good time.
We were talking before the show. I walked by the Fusion on the way here. They have one parked out in front of Central Hall.
The new 2013 is so sweet.
Wow,
it's really pretty.
Wow, I was like, that.
Well, I wanted an electric car, so I was going to get the Focus. And somebody asked him at this event, "Well, how come Nissan and everybody's ahead of you on electric cars? Why are you just now doing electric cars?" He said, "Because we have a different strategy. We want to put multiple drivetrains in every single vehicle. So the way we're building our lines is we make the vehicle 70% of the vehicles the same anyway. When you get to the drivetrain, depending on demand, we can make diesel, gasoline, hybrid, plug-in hybrid or electric on the same line." And he said, "We want to do that across the line. So instead of saying, 'Well, here's our electric car,' we want to say is
so smart.
You want a Fusion? What kind do you want? You want a Focus? What kind do you want?" I think that is actually
that's
taken them
brilliant.
Longer. Yeah. I think it's really, really smart. He's an engineer, and when an engineer designs a company, he does it with engineering.
Yeah.
That was the other thing he said, which I really support, and we're going to put Twit's money where its mouth is. He said, "We really need to promote engineering in this country." He said, "Every time you sit down, even at a meal like this, it was engineers who designed the tools that were used to make the meal. The engineers who designed everything around us was designed by an engineer. We need to make more engineers in this country. We need to turn kids on to the idea of engineering." And I really agree. And I think Veronica was sitting next to me, and I said to Veronica, "We got to do more shows that teach people how to do electronics, teach people how stuff works, so that that kids can get inspired to make new stuff, to innovate." And she said, "I was just going to say the same thing. We got to do that together." So pretty cool.
That's
pretty
great.
Cool stuff. Enough of that. You went to Showstoppers. How was that?
It was fun.
Did you see anything cool?
I did. I grabbed a couple things.
Let's see some
stuff. So I have to admit, I always look for the things that I kind of walk around Showstoppers, and there's a lot of stuff that I think everyone's going to cover, but the stuff that I say, "Oh, that's something I want," or
That's what you
mean. I just grab onto that. So I'm not really looking at the newsworthy stuff as much as the stuff that I thought was the most interesting.
Hey, that's the only way to judge it. If you want it, maybe somebody else will.
Exactly. So
now Brent has the close-up camera, and he's going to shoot whatever you show.
And I think we were going to get a bottle of water, but I don't think we ended up getting it. But this is
I could pour some water on there.
You can pour some water on it. I think we were going to get
a bucket of water
and drop it in there. So what this is this is a life-proof case. And
a bottle. We need something to dunk.
No, we need like a thing to put the phone in, which is really dangerous because I didn't follow any of the instructions. I just kind of put it together morning.
I would maybe not do that.
Anyway, so
but
what
the
this
idea
is
this is waterproof?
It's waterproof up to 6 feet, so 2 meters of waterproof. It has here. It's really cool. It's really thought out. So what you have is this. You actually screw this into the headphone jack. So this little guy here will screw in. You unscrew the head. You kind of uncork the headphone jack here, and you can, I'm not going to do it right now, but you can screw this into it so that you can use your headphones and it's still waterproof, so it stays waterproof. You know, and then
okay, we got a cup of water. How confident do you feel?
let's give it a shot. How bad can it be? So here we go. Living large, living large.
This is your phone, right?
This is my phone.
He's dunking it like a donut. Holy moly, you're crazy.
No, it's still, it hasn't, let's see. No, watch, it won't turn on. No, it's fine. So it's...
So I don't understand how it can completely seal it, even with the touch screen, even with the home button and
the touch screen is the best one. So I've gotten other ones that
are... So it's
got
a screen protector.
It's got a screen protector.
That goes over the home button?
Yeah, it goes over the home button. It has got filters for the speaker, you know, for the ear. And one thing I will say is that this screen, you'll notice that it's nice and bright. I mean, there's a little bit of specularity there, but it's nice and bright. A lot of the screens that I've gotten before have kind of darkened the screen and made it... And then also... A lot of times the touch is really rough, but you'll notice that, you know, it's just, it's really a light touch, you know, so it actually works well.
I don't like protective screens. I kind of like to operate bare to the metal, you know.
Well, like play with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally responsive.
It doesn't feel like there's a screen on it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really good.
It's really nice. And they have really, really high quality glass for this camera. Is one of the things that I've had a complaint about with the other ones.
So they cover the camera.
They cover the camera, but a lot of them just have a thick piece of plastic that's cheap that goes in front of there, and you get kind of this foggy photo once you start shooting with it. And this is a nice, really, really high quality glass. And then, of course, it's shockproof up to I think it's, you know, mil spec shockproof.
Wow. So you could drop it.
So if I go, whoa, whoa.
Oh, dear.
It bounced.
Let's see if it survived.
Thank you, Brent.
Yep. No cracks. Hey, it's, you know.
A chance. Not so much with the phone, but with Brent having his head lower than his knees. Are you okay? He stood up awfully fast.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's a pretty slick little, anyway, and I like also that it's much smaller. So it's a much smaller profile. It's
that feels like almost like a regular case. It doesn't seem like it's... In fact, my case is bigger. My Mophie case is much bigger.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was pretty impressed with that. The it's called LifeProof.
LifeProof.
And that's the company, I believe. And that's what they do. And they make a lot of
Do you know?
I think it's $79.
Ooh. Okay.
So but you're talking about something that, you know, like, I have bought waterproof phones so that I can, shoot underwater or whatever when I'm on vacation. I'd much rather just take this and shoot underwater.
Isn't that amazing? If you really can go underwater with it, that's cool.
Well, I'll take some pictures. We'll keep on working on this, and we'll take some pictures.
You're a brave man. What's that?
This is it's called a boogie board.
It's like a giant Kindle.
So it's funny. It's kind of so I just thought this was really interesting. So what this is you can draw on it.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's you know...
Is it e-ink?
It is. It's... Here, try it. Here's the thing, is that I have, like, I really like Penultimate.
It's got water on it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
Hit the and then you hit the erase. There's an erase there.
I'm doing it upside down.
There we go. So now go ahead and draw.
So are you saying this is like one of those...
So here's the thing, is you're in a meeting...
$1.50 plastic...
It's not, it's more. But
no,
it's,
I'm saying this is just like those things where you draw on the Mr. Potato Head guy.
But here's the difference, is that you can... There you go. But what's interesting about it is it feels much better than trying to do it on my iPad. There's more, you know, I feel like it's more responsive. It's faster to handle it. Now, if you have a PC, you can plug this in via a mini USB or a micro USB, and it'll actually...
that's not very good.
And then, but then you can hit save. It'll save up to 200 pages.
Oh, so this could be notes.
It could be notes. So you could be sitting there talking to someone. This is what I'm looking at. We have a lot of times we have meetings. I don't find that writing on my iPad is fast enough. You know, it's just a little bit behind, and it kind of drives me a little nutty. And so the idea is that...
So if I press the save button...
It'll save it.
It'll save everything that I just wrote?
It'll save everything you just wrote, so up to 200 pages.
Wow.
And then it will... And then you hook it to your... And it shows up as a drive on your Mac or PC, and you just pull those... And they come out as EPS, so not just an image.
Oh, wow.
They're coming out as vector files. So I thought that was really interesting.
This is from Improv Electronics. It's called the Boogie Board. How much?
I think that is the biggest one they have, and that's like $129. But the cheapest one is, I think, $30 or so, and it doesn't do all the saving.
Okay, hold the rest of your stuff. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Pantech is here with some phones, with a tablet, some stuff. We're going to show Pantech's latest array of cool things in just a moment. But first, as long as we're talking about Ford, a little word from Ford about all of their new electrics. It's here. Two new vehicles that Ford is bringing its electric technologies to. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric. This is the one I was waiting for. And in 2013, the C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid. I'm going to tell you a little bit about both of these. Both models use regenerative braking. We know what that is. It captures about 90% of the kinetic energy lost in conventional engines to heat due to friction. So what happens is when you put on those brakes, the energy is sent back to the battery pack and it recharges the batteries. It also uses a unique Sync with MyFord Touch EV feature so you can maximize your range. It actually is talking to you as you're driving. There's all sorts of, they put information systems like crazy into these new cars, onboard and offboard to help you manage the recharge process, to determine the most eco-friendly driving route. So, you know, when your GPS will tell you fastest, shortest, it'll also say, here's the most eco-friendly. You can remotely control your vehicle charge in preconditioning settings. So you're in the living room and you know you're going to go for a ride. You can press some buttons and the car, it changed the way it's charging. You can monitor the state of charge, maximize efficiency. This is where you start to see Sync with MyFord Touch kind of really integrated into a larger system so that you've got optimizations for electrified driving, including configuring vehicle information like fuel level, battery power level, average and instant miles per gallon. All that can be displayed on the screens as you need them. And there's this new MyFord mobile smartphone app, so you can access your vehicle status from anywhere, including state of charge, current range, program charge settings, and download vehicle data for analysis. This is for the info geek. This is like the coolest thing ever. And they're also, Microsoft's going to do something called value charging. Value charging allows Ford customers to reduce their electricity costs by charging at off-peak or reduced rate hours. Utilities are moving this. We're going to get this big time here, and I think all across the country, where the utilities change the rate drastically depending on whether it's during peak or off hours. So if you're charging electric things like a car, this becomes really, really important. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric, all-electric vehicle, no gas engine, fully charges. Finally, we're getting these information that I've been waiting to hear. 3 to 4 hours if you get that special 240-volt home charging station. The Leviton charging stations recommended by Ford are available through your dealer. It's 100% electric, zero-emission vehicle. You know, see on these hybrids, partial zero emission. I don't know what a partial zero emission is.
Partial
zero means not zero in my book.
It means we was close.
We were close.
It was close.
This is zero. Not partial. Zero. Lithium ion batteries, of course. And they have technology that allows you to top off the charge without reducing the lifespan of the battery. So you don't have to wait till you've charged it all the way down. 2012 Ford Focus Electric available for reservations now. I have a reservation in, but then I saw
when
the
are you
2013. I don't know if the Fusion, I don't know now. And the 2013 Ford C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid. I haven't seen this one. I can't wait to see it. That's coming in the fall of 2013.
I feel like every time I think that there's something that Ford should be thinking about with their cars, I find out, yeah, they were already thinking about that like five years ago.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
I was talking to them. They've got the design cycle down to 3 years, but you still are planning years and years ahead of time.
Yeah.
You can't. It's unfortunately for them. You can't just say, hey, next week, let's make an electric car.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ford, for supporting our coverage of CES. And now let's say hello from Pantech. Do you have a card? I don't have... What's your name?
Erin McGee.
Hi, Erin. Nice to see you. Pantech was here a couple of years ago with an e-book reader, got a lot of attention. So are you still doing that? What's the latest from Pantech? Ah, you know what? I saw this at the AT&T store.
Did you?
I think I did. Is this in the stores yet? Not yet.
January 22nd.
January, okay.
But the merchandising's already.
I think that's what I saw. Alex, would you help Erin? No, not with a microphone.
Oh, hold it.
Holding it, yeah, so we can shoot it. Or actually, Aaron's doing all right.
I can do it.
All right. Then Aaron can tap.
I'll be the stand.
Yeah, you be a stand.
So this is the Pantech Element.
3G, I'm guessing, because of AT&T.
4G LTE.
4G.
4G LTE.
The new AT&T LTE.
Yes.
Which is really fast, like 20 megabits.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we're very excited about this. It's AT&T's first waterproof tablet.
We got a bucket of water. You want to try it? No, it's not waterproof.
Really?
It really is. It's submergible for up to 1 meter for 30 minutes. So we have to have all the ports tightly closed, but yes.
That's really cool.
Yes.
What do you imagine divers? Who's going to use it underwater?
No, it's really more for unintentional
water
usage.
Right.
So you're working on your tablet, you spill your drink, your son comes up after, going to the pool and gives you a big soaking or whatever, or your dog comes up and, after getting a bath. So it's really more life-proof, unintentional water, contact, but it is submergible. So we're really excited about this. It's an 8-inch display.
It's a beautiful display.
It's gorgeous. It's really lightweight.
What's the resolution of the display?
Resolution.
Is it VGA?
I think it's.
Looks VGA.
Yeah, I think it's VGA.
I would guess 1024 by 760.
Right, right. So it's very lightweight, very compact, and it's actually going to retail at $299. But we have a really exciting offer with AT&T, and when I introduce the phone, I'll tell you a little bit more. But we've got two devices, the tablet and a handset, and it's $249 for both.
Wow. Wow. And this is Android 2.3?
This is Android Honeycomb.
It's Honeycomb.
Tablet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have plans to go to Ice Cream Sandwich?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How soon do you know?
I think probably within the early summer.
Okay.
So, yeah. And this got a front and rear camera, two front-facing and five rear-facing.
That's really great.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great.
A couple of preloaded games, Kindle. We got a game, Bug Village, that's preloaded, Polaris Office. So we're very excited about it. It's our first tablet. It's our basically our first LT device besides the handset. So.
And AT&T, if they do the same thing they do with the iPad, has different 3G plans starting, I think, $25 a month for, I think, 2 gigabytes, something like that. Actually, they have even a cheaper one. It's 250 megabytes. I just never considered it.
No, I just go, what's the biggest one I can get?
Yeah. That's amazing. The prices are really dropping. Well, let me see the handset. So if you get this and a handset total, it's $249?
Right. So, what AT&T has challenged us to do and a lot of other OEMs is make, technology affordable for the masses. And this is called the Pantech Burst. And this is another 4G LTE device. And this is a 4-inch full touchscreen phone. It's got dual cameras. It's
looks like it's highly customized, Gingerbread Android.
Right, right. Yeah. It's 2.3.5.
Uh-huh.
It's got a 5 rear-facing camera and a VGA front-facing. So very thin, very compact, very lightweight. This will launch at $49.99 individually, whereas the tablet will launch at $299. But the bundle together get both for $249.
So it's cheaper to get the phone and the tablet than just to get the tablet.
Right.
That's crazy. I guess because you have to
someone,
get two
someone
plans.
Who's doing the math over there needs to talk to their accountants.
Right. So it is two individual data plans, but we're very excited about it. It comes in these two great colors, this titanium and then this red.
It's very pretty.
So, yeah, we're really excited about it. And, it's Pantech's first foray into 4G LTE. We've launched several Androids this year, so we're really excited to be part of this huge announcement with AT&T. And AT&T is very excited about it as well.
What's the chip in the phone?
Qualcomm chip.
They didn't tell you that we were being real geeky and asked you.
You know, I'm the marketing gal, so I'm.
Yeah.
I'm about
1.2 gigahertz.
1.2.
Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes. That sounds right.
I could look it up. So the name of the tablet is the Element.
Tablet's the Element. Pantech Burst
is the Burst. Mm-hmm.
And it is 1.2 gigahertz.
Somebody's nodding at you over there. Okay. Thank you so much, Aaron. Really great stuff. And that's exciting. AT&T just announced LTE, and I'm surprised how quickly it's being adopted by a lot of manufacturers, with the kind of obvious exception of Apple.
Not that we're bitter.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pantech, Pantech.
Yes.
.com?
PantechUSA.com.
PantechUSA.com if you want to know more. And Gabby's going to take a picture of you. Just hold the tablet up so it looks like you're actually doing something. There you go. Look at that. Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks
a beautiful. It's 7-inch. It's a little small. And
eight
I like
inch.
That size. 8-inch.
Eight
mm-hmm. I like that size. It's a nice compromise between the fuller size 10-inch like the iPad and the 7-inch, which is, that's a perfect size. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Alex Lindsay is here. We're here talking about CES in about half an hour. This Week in Computer Hardware, Patrick Norton might be here for that. We don't know, but Ryan Schrout will be here for sure for that. Alex has some more doohickeys that he's brought along. These are all for your
phone. I got gloves.
These are all for your iPhone.
Well, it was, they were, that was what I, not the big one, the big tablet I didn't, wasn't for the iPhone.
Oh, actually, no, yeah, but what's coming up is all so, for you. I like this boogie board. That is really an interesting idea.
You know, it was one of those things, like, I almost walked by it, and then I was like, I think I'm going to go look at that. And then I got kind of upset. So I got a glove.
Yeah.
So
now, you don't even have to tell me. That's got silver filaments in it.
And it just works great.
So you can use it on your
iPhone.
And
it works great, and I have to say that, they say, try it. You got to try it.
It feels good?
A lot of them just don't work very well, and they're all real bulky. So this is like a nice little glove.
Yeah, you know...
When it's cold, I have to deal with this. Called a glove.
You've also
showed this already?
Yeah, because...
The same one?
From the Daily Gizwiz.
So this is a Gizwiz Redux.
Yeah. This, it's actually AG Love, or a glove, and the AG stands for... remember your periodic table of the element. And that's because it's got little silver filaments in it, which makes it conductive. Isn't that cool?
Yes. And as I said, it's nice and small, and it doesn't take over.
No, it feels good, and it actually is a little bit warm.
Yeah.
Cool. That is A-G-L-O-V, a glove. I think it's a couple of women who invented this.
I think so. I think they were there.
The story is very interesting, yeah.
And the last two, I'll just show the last two here, because I think you've already shown them.
We showed those. One is the AutoClip.
AutoClip, which
I
love. Was nifty.
And I keep thinking I've lost it because it's so tiny, but it clips right on your iPhone, and it gives you wide angle, kind of fisheye wide angle.
Yeah,
kind of medium wide angle, and then macro.
Macro.
I love the macro.
So and so it's just a slick little lens to, because I've had a couple of them and they require cases and they require a lot of other things, and so I just thought that was a great one. And then the one that I haven't got to take it out and, for a drive yet, I just got it last night, is this Cogetto, which you've already shown.
I have that too.
So anyway,
it's kind of interesting. It gives you, what you do is you have to have a special app for that. You put it on the table and then it allows you to take
360 degree video or.
Yeah,
stills.
Video. Well, yeah. I haven't even seen the stills. So
I believe it'll do stills.
It's weird because it's a video that you look in a window. You have to use a special player, and people are moving and talking, but then you can move around and see what was going on behind everything, and it's very strange.
And we got the first version. We started playing with the first version of this maybe 10 years ago for SLR cameras.
I remember.
So this is the first one that I've seen that really just snaps onto your iPhone, which
the
I thought
was kind
of cool.
Quality is not super good.
It's going to be soft. It's going to give you an experience, but not.
It's about the experience.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's what I thought was interesting when I was walking through. Evidently, I wouldn't have been so interested if I had been watching the Gizwiz.
You don't watch the weekly Daily Gizwiz.
I have.
You know, sometimes I feel like Dick comes up with just kind of weird stuff, but then, as it turns out, it isn't so weird.
So I'm underlining Dick's wisdom.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So.
Hey, let's bring Tim Stevens on over. Tim, editor-in-chief of Engadget. Good to see you, Tim.
Thanks.
How are you?
Good to see you.
This must be your nightmare every year, CES.
We always call it the best worst week of the year.
Yeah.
It's incredible amount of fun to get the whole team together and everybody, you know, we've got a trailer out in the parking lot. We all work together. So it's like, you know,
that's kind of
the camaraderie thing. But
that
is, it's exhausting. We're all working 18, 20 hours a day just to keep up on the news.
I bet you wake up in a cold sweat sometimes dreaming about CES and you've got a file and it's like, it seems like that kind of.
Yeah, it's definitely the kind of thing that will invade your dreams and invade your nightmares. That's for sure. But we're prepping for so much. You know, there's obviously not a whole lot of sleep that goes on before we get into CES.
So tell us, give us some, of course, everybody can go to Engadget.com and catch up on what's going on. But tell us a little bit about what you've seen so far that you're excited about.
Honestly, the biggest and best things I've seen are probably the two OLED TVs.
They're
the
amazing, 55
inches.
Aren't they?
There's an LG and a Samsung 55-inch TVs. They're just... I mean, you see them sitting next to an LCD, and you immediately realize you never want to buy another LCD again.
4 millimeters thick, and that's really what's dramatic. It's like a pane. Not only do they look gorgeous, but it's like a pane of glass.
Absolutely. They're so thin. They have virtually zero bezel, and the saturation, the contrast, the beauty of the colors, it's unbelievable. Those are probably the biggest standouts, but the Galaxy Tab 7.7 Plus... on LTE is a very nice tablet. I got to play with that a little bit.
Yeah, we saw the Pantech, which is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Also LTE. How fast? Now, does LTE in Vegas, can you actually try it?
Yeah, actually, We are using AT&T LT. We have modems for the whole staff this year, and it's been great. On the first day, I think we were seeing about 20 megabits down. It's obviously gone down a lot since the show started.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're seeing about 5 to 8 megabits down, which is
not
too bad.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not too bad, given the congestion here and the number of devices.
Well, I'll be honest, AT&T 3G is barely working because everybody's using that with their iPhone.
That's one of the reasons that we really wanted to have AT&T LTE, because we knew that nobody was going to have it. So we thankfully were able to get 40 LTE modems, and we're in pretty good shape.
I'm a little surprised by the number of LTE AT&T devices we're seeing here. I mean, they're just all over. Everybody but Apple, almost, it seems like.
Absolutely. We were, too. I mean, we certainly expected that there would be devices, but given how slow the network has been to roll out, we hadn't expected this volume. But yeah, the Pantech Element, we certainly saw some leaks, and now that's official. We've seen, of course, Windows Phone, Android devices, and yeah, we've seen a lot of great devices on LTE, which is great. I still am just really frustrated that an AT&T LTE device is incompatible with a Verizon LTE device, which is incompatible, presumably, with a Sprint LTE device down the road.
Yeah, you'd think LTE is LTE.
Yeah, it should be, but it's not like
they
GSM.
Don't want it to be compatible, right?
I know,
there's
which
no incentive
is so frustrating
for them
to me. Yeah. I wish that, I mean, I hate to say that there's a need for government regulation, but sometimes you think, maybe,
you know,
maybe it would help.
Sometimes competition is not a good thing. We saw a lot of tablets last year, a lot of Android tablets last year, some of which never even came out, most of which were complete flops.
Yeah, the Playbook, I think, was one of the biggest tablets last year.
The Playbook, the Zoom, remember Motorola's making all that hay about the Zoom? Nothing. And, of course, after CES, Amazon's Kindle Fire came out, which is, I think, the only tablet that has had anything near the success the iPad has had.
It certainly had quite a bit of success, although Amazon, unfortunately, won't tell us exactly how much success
millions.
It's had. But millions, presumably.
So, are we seeing anything here that's any different, or is the iPad going to be the winner in 2012, too?
It's hard to say. I mean, there are better devices, but nothing is a monumental leap forward.
And I don't think Ice Cream Sandwich changes the game.
It doesn't, no. It's effectively the same user experience as Honeycomb, but just more polished. It is much nicer than Honeycomb, but if you don't like Honeycomb,
that's only
you won't
Honeycomb
like Ice Cream
was
Sandwich.
So awful.
Yeah,
my feeling exactly. If you don't, if you're not an Android fan, it's not going to make any difference.
No.
It's not an iPad.
There's nothing that's going to pull you over. I think the Android users will love it more than they love what's come before, but no, it's not going to convert anybody over to the platform.
Last year, of course, 3D TVs were also huge.
Right.
I don't see the hype of 3D. And there's 3D here, but it's not being hyped at
which
all.
Which we were very excited about, to be honest with
Relieved.
You.
Relieved.
TV manufacturers are really focusing on tiny bezels, thin displays, and of course, the OLEDs we were talking about.
And apps.
Oh, yeah, apps.
So it's really clear that TV manufacturers suffered in 2011. They couldn't sell them. The prices just plummeted. By the end of the year, they were just dumping TVs on the market. 3D did not kickstart it the way they thought it would.
No, not at all.
So they're looking for some other reason to get people. I think they hit saturation. Everybody wanted an HD TV, got one.
Right.
So they're looking for some way to convince you and me, who already have our 55-inch display, to buy a new one. And apps does seem to be what they feel is the next big thing.
I think so. It's frustrating to me that there are so many different platforms popping out. I mean, each manufacturer has their own platform. Google TV is the closest thing to a standard, but that's got such low adoption rate that that's not nowhere near.
Eric Schmidt, remember, said at Le Web, he said 50% of more than half of all TVs in this year will be sold. We'll have Google TV on
right.
it. We did see Lenovo, right? With
that's actually Ice Cream Sandwich on Lenovo's TV, which is
not
very
Google TV.
Yes, it's not Google TV.
And we do see LG has a Google TV.
Yep, Sony as well. So
Sony.
It's. I mean, at one hand, we all kind of laughed when he said that, like 50% of TVs. Yeah, no way. But then we thought, well, what does he know that we don't know? Because that's a pretty strong statement. I think Google TV could be a platform that helps to bring all of these different TV manufacturers together. But, of course, it has to be adopted. And right now, that's not happening.
Right.
When Logitech, of course, went to Google TV, they basically said that it was a horrible, horrible decision.
$100 million blunder.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's we're surprised that manufacturers are actually going back to Google TV after that.
I like Google TV. I mean, I have a Logitech review.
Yeah, I do too.
The new upgrade really made it very usable. Yeah. I use it because it's pass-through, which means I don't have to go to another HDMI port to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like it's too bad it had such a bad launch.
I think so too.
Are they coming up with anything that's really going to make those apps usable? I mean, my TVs that I buy all have apps on them. It doesn't necessarily mean that I don't even know where.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to get to them. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, and I think that's one of the challenges that.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to have Android on your phone or on a tablet because it's a very intuitive, touchable experience. What Samsung is trying to do is they're basically bringing a Kinect-like experience into their smart TV. So you can reach up, you can change the volume, you can kind of do things like this to change the volume, to change the channels. It's also got voice recognition built in as well, which is something that manufacturers are trying to greater and lesser degrees of success.
Have you tried the voice recognition people are putting in? Is it usable?
Not in modern TVs, no. I have, of course, used it on the Xbox, and I found it to be pretty terrible.
Right.
There's that 30 Rock episode where they're pitching voice recognition. That actually happens to me all the time when I'm watching Netflix. It'll start rewinding itself based on something
it's really
somebody
a pain
said.
In the ass.
It is. So that gives me very low confidence that voice recognition in TVs is going to be any good at all.
Are there a lot of TVs that are now shipping with Wi-Fi? I mean, are they putting so they're really, I think that was more this
quite
year
a few.
Than last year?
I mean, some of them still you have to buy like a dongle to go in the back to enable it, but Wi-Fi is definitely something that we're seeing more.
But I think that's the dongle, I think, was the problem.
Yeah,
the problem
absolutely.
When they first started moving forward.
Absolutely.
What else? Let's see, TVs, tablets. Microsoft kind of surprised me. I think Microsoft has for the, you know, in the last 4 years, Apple has been the non-present and yet big story of CES, first
right.
of the iPhone, then the iPad. This year, Microsoft kind of surprised me, the comeback kid. We're starting to see some really nice Windows Phone 7s.
Right.
I think that, how do you like that Lumia 900?
The 900 is great. It is a big phone.
I like big, though. That's one of the problems I have with the iPhone.
I do too.
It's hard for me to type on.
The problem with that is if I have a big phone, I want a lot of pixels. I want a high pixel density screen. And it's WVGA, just like all Windows phones, which to me is the biggest frustration point for Windows Phone right now. I think they've got LTE in there. Dual core processors would be nice, but I can live without that. I would really like to have a higher pixel density screen.
Is that because you watch media on your phone? Because you watch movies and TV?
I do watch media, and I'm also surfing the web to look up news. And if you're surfing the web, it's really nice. You can really definitely notice the clarity in fonts and that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, I of course had the Resound and the Galaxy Nexus, both which are 720p phones. I love the resolution. I'm not as crazy about the Nexus display. I like the Resound's display quite a bit.
Yeah, the Resound is very good.
Yeah. I hope we'll see more high-res displays.
I think so, too. I mean, Microsoft has a lot of things it needs to add to the platform to keep up. Dual-core processors. It's got LTE now. This is the first time we've seen LTE on Windows Phone, which is good. Dual-core and high-resolution displays, I think, are the
great
two big
cameras.
Things it needs. And great cameras as well, especially from Nokia. I mean, that's just something we've come to expect from Nokia.
Yeah, that's their thing.
And it's something that I think we'll continue to see for sure.
Yeah.
They've now been used for a feature film.
Yes,
Nokia. Someone shot a feature film with the feature, and it's Oscar. It's getting it's up for an Oscar now.
For
of course,
special
it's
achievement.
No, for sound. It's
for
up for an Oscar for sound. So the thing is, it was like they make a big deal that they shot it with the phone, and it has nothing to do with the phone. So.
We want an Oscar. Don't ask what it's about.
Yeah,
Tim
exactly.
Stevens is here, editor in chief of Engadget. Is there anything you thought you'd see that you're not seeing? Any surprises? Any categories that are not being?
I thought Microsoft would do more with Windows 8 here. To be honest with you, I thought we'd see more Windows 8
devices.
Too.
There's one or two.
Right. That was the big surprise for me. I really expected to see a lot more details about how Windows 8 is going to interact between tablets and desktops. We saw a demo. I don't know if you saw the keynote, but we, of course, got a very long demo of Windows 8, but it was ultimately a lot of stuff we've seen before.
Right.
So I was expecting Microsoft to really kind of help define their ecosystem between Windows Phone, the Xbox. They talked about those individual pieces, but they didn't tie it together. And that's what I really thought Microsoft would do. They'd start to build more Xbox access into Windows Phone and more Windows Phone into Windows 8. And we didn't see any of that. We still have all these pieces for
it. It's funny. We all see that. We look at Apple and say, look how well Apple's done by unifying, knitting together the ecosystem. It's been so great for them. Microsoft actually has the opportunity to do so. They're now getting Metro everywhere. They're getting the platform is there. And this is just where Microsoft consistently fails. It just cannot seem to create a unified strategy. There's too many fiefdoms.
And the keynote to me was very... It was like endemic of the problem as a whole. They did an Xbox demo that was completely unrelated to the Windows 8 demo, that was completely unrelated to the Windows Phone demo. And the biggest problem was they didn't show us anything new, really. They just showed us stuff that we'd already seen before.
We talked a little bit about that on Windows Weekly, and our host Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley said, well, yeah, we've seen it all before, but maybe others haven't in a unified... You know, if you went to Build, you'd seen it, but maybe others haven't seen it in a single presentation. Maybe that's the value.
People like Ryan Seacrest probably have not seen it.
Ryan Seacrest, this was so informative for him. You know, one thing I'm seeing everywhere is a Samsung Note. They're even... I was over at the Venetian in St. Mark's Square, and they have... It was actually a great promotion. They have... You know, normally the guys there are doing caricatures. Mm-hmm. They're doing them on Samsung Notes. They call it the Samsung Note Atelier, and they have people... And there's guys in hats with smocks and big bows going, "Dude, I will draw your picture on a Samsung Note." Haven't played with it yet. It's big, isn't it?
It's a big phone. I've spent some time with one, and I think it's a great device.
Is Dell Streak big? What is it, like 5 inches?
It's 5.3 inches. It's a very nice display. It's a little bit thicker thicker than I like, but it's not. It's actually not that bad. The only problem I have is when you see somebody else talking on one,
it looks
like a really big phone. But in your hand, it feels really nice and intuitive. The stylus is actually very nice to use. It's a great device. I just wish it had ice cream sandwich on it. That's the only thing that I would like to, because gingerbread is feeling
talking about a fragmented platform. This is the big problem Google and Android have, is that you don't know what the hell you're going to get when you buy a phone.
Yeah,
I have to ask every Android manufacturer, well, what version of Android do you have?
Right.
Little girl.
And what flavor of that version?
Exactly. I mean,
what dessert is on your phone?
Is there honey on top? Yeah. We're seeing a lot of devices here that still have gingerbread, that still have honeycomb. We would love to see everything on ice cream sandwich. Yeah. We were hoping to see a lot more ice cream sandwich devices, but we haven't seen that much. The Transformer Prime, though, did get ice cream sandwich this week. Not really related to CES, but that, if you've got
there
one
you
of those.
There you go. There's
good.
A note.
Oh, hey, a note.
Who had a note?
Guy.
Somebody had a note.
Now I'm going to hold it to my head here.
Wow.
You can see.
That's great.
It's kind of big.
You look like a dork. You look like you got a Hershey bar on your to your ear.
But I look like I mean business, I think.
It makes your head look smaller. See, that's the whole thing. See, I have a big
which
head.
I could use. Actually.
So this
I
is for
too.
People who can't make their mind up between a phone and a tablet.
It splits the middle, and I think it does a pretty good job
so
of it.
So what
it
says is I am indecisive.
Yeah, that's what it says to me, too.
And you have big hands, too.
On the other hand,
pockets.
I do like big stuff. This basically looks like a Galaxy S2, but big.
Frankensized.
Yeah, frankensized. Huh.
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, obviously those are designed to use with your hands-free, you know, your headset or whatever. I very rarely.
I do, too.
Unless it's really loud, I very rarely actually put my phone to my head anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I think more and more, especially with voice dictation like Siri. And
I always imagine my brain being cooked on that side of my head.
You know what? I could live with this.
Yeah, I think I could as well. The only thing it's lacking, of course, like I said, is ice cream sandwich. I think if it had that, it would be great.
Yeah. It doesn't have physical buttons, capacitance buttons, does it?
No, actually, so that's the international version. The U.S. version will have the 4 capacitive buttons. We actually talked with Samsung about that to ask them, why do they do that? They always have the 3 buttons on the international version and 4 buttons on the U.S. version. So the U.S. version, I think it's a hair thicker, and it'll have 4 buttons on the bottom rather than the 3.
I like that. That's the one thing that I don't like about ice cream sandwich. Not the one thing, but one of the things, is that the buttons could be anywhere at any time.
I hate that. I hate that. Like, and I especially hate how you've got some buttons down here, but you've got the apps up here, so you're reaching.
It's crazy.
It's all over the place.
That's not UI design.
Matthias, but I'm not a big fan of the layout.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Tim Stevens is a smart man.
Well, thank
How many
you,
editors
Leo.
Do you have here for Engadget?
Oh, boy.
How many are stuck in that
it's
trailer out there?
Between 30 and 35,
Holy
depending
cow!
Upon how many are awake at the moment. We've also got two video crews. We've got, I don't know if you're familiar with our tablet magazine distro, but we actually brought the design team here,
cool.
We're doing special editions of our tablet magazine from the show floor. First one will, I think,
That's
go out today.
A great idea.
So we've got, 40 people in our trailer, I think, right
wow.
now. It's pretty packed
That's
in there.
That's really great.
It smells really
Are
good
Are you
going to
do Engadget TV and stuff from here? Or?
Yeah, we've been doing live broadcasts. This is the first year we've had a studio on the show floor, so we were actually over in the Grand Lobby. We've been doing live interviews, and we were doing live podcasts.
I saw that. You have
night.
A nice studio over
Thank
there.
Thank you very much.
It looked really good.
Yeah.
Did you get some of the mini celebrities over there?
No, we're not really into celebrities so much.
The celebrity. Now, Justin Bieber's going to be here later today, so we're going to go over and get video of the Bieb. But the rest of them, I don't know. It's kind of a weak cast.
We did get Snooki last night to use Engadget Distro, our tablet magazine, and she loved it. So
you did get a celebrity,
okay.
Tim.
Guilty.
You
were,
yeah.
Guilty.
Tim,
guilty.
Thanks so much for coming
yeah,
by. I appreciate
thank you
it.
Very much.
Tim Stevens, Engadget Editor-in-Chief. Great job. That's a great place to go if you want to find out everything. I mean, 35 editors on the ground. That's all. That's
Engadget's part of my morning ritual.
Yeah.
So I get up and I'm going through stuff.
I wasn't going to say this, but I think the competition between The Verge and Engadget is great.
Yeah.
Because now you have two really strong gadget blogs that hate each other. and they're fighting like this.
Yeah.
And they're doing everything they can. To, oh, my God, wait a minute. I think we're on the air. We're on the air. Are we on What's Trending right now? Shira Lazar loves making her little... Your little vloggies.
Hey, Shira. Yeah, we met. How are you?
Do you know Shira? Alex Lindsay, Shira Lazar.
Yep.
I'll sit here.
Sit there. Yeah. Sit next to Alex.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Shira is the host of What's Trending.
We're going to Twit.tv right now. It's going to be fun.
And she does a lot of vlogging. What platform do you use for your vlogging?
What?
Put on the headphones so you can hear me.
Wah.
I got all of a sudden Snooki joined us.
Bring the valley. The valley talk.
Now can you hear me?
I hear you, and I'm going to have a broadcaster voice now.
Now you may talk like that.
I will not say like or or anything of that
so
sort.
So, Shira, what do you use for your vlogging? What platform?
It's my camera.
Oh,
yeah.
And then you upload it.
Or I edit it
I've been using SocialCam.
Oh, really?
Have you tried it?
No.
What's nice is you can video. You can do what you just did. Press go, and it uploads it, and it posts it on Facebook.
I need to do that because I'm like. At CES, I don't have time
it's
to edit
work.
It together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to do that sometimes, just edit like
quick
cuts of my day.
No. Oh, well, that's cool. If you can do that.
Like a day in the life.
Do you use iMovie to do that?
I use ScreenFlow. So listen to this, because you don't need
what?
It. This is my secret.
That's a screen capture app.
Yes. You don't need to render. So when you're needing to do editing quick, just cuts, no rendering. It's a secret. So, yeah, you open it
don't
up.
Don't tell anybody.
I've told so many vloggers this, and they love it now.
I love ScreenFlow. I've used ScreenFlow, but only for doing, you know,
illustrated
screen caps.
I know, but it opens up the editing, right. That soft, like, system that they have. And all you do is cut, no rendering, upload.
Wow.
Know how much time that saves?
A lot.
Anyway, how's it going here?
Shira Lazar is here from What's Trending, whatstrending.com.
Yes.
And
I need
you,
to tweet that I'm on.
You are doing... No, don't. It's
all
right.
Sorry. All right.
You're only going to be on for 10 minutes.
All right.
By the time
know.
Everybody sees that tweet,
you're
you'll
right.
be gone.
Okay.
And you are doing the show from here.
Yeah, so we are going live. Well, live starting at 12:30 or so today.
Cool.
Until 5:30. But
you're
going to
do 5 hours?
Yeah, but every 30 minutes with live with interviews every 30 minutes. So
we have
everyone from Jessica Chobot from G4 to Adam Ostro from Mashable to a YouTuber, Shay Carl. So we have a mixture of tech journalists like Bianca Bosker from The Huffington Post coming on and more personalities. Josh Molina, the actor from The West Wing, who's also here for the IAW TV Awards. He's so fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to be on bit.ly/WTChill or livestream.com/whatstrending, whatever. Whatever
bit.ly.
Do you go on chill.com at all? Do you ever use that?
No, what's that?
It's kind of like a turntable live video.
Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah, viewing. You should try it. I'm happy to hook you up, Leo.
Chill.
And you can create your own avatar and people go in the chat room. Hey.
Now, this is not listen to chill out music online.
No, chill.com. And
I went to chill.fm.
No, go to chill.com. But then I want to tell everyone about our very special live show. Like, today's kind of like fun interviews, but tomorrow is a live show at 11 to noon p.m. Pacific time. And we have special guests, Eliza Dushku, I Justine, Veronica Belmont.
Eliza Dushku is the official
Robert Scoble.
CES ambassador.
I know. What do you think about that?
Official.
That is so bizarre.
Does she have a badge?
Yes.
Like a metal badge.
The way she tells it, last year she and her boyfriend came to CES on a lark just to see
Rick Fox,
like gadgets.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's that? Is he
Rick
famous?
Fox. Yeah, he's a basketball star, a Laker.
Oh, he's a Laker.
He was.
Former Laker,
yes.
Chris Fox.
Yes.
Came here and loved it, had a good time. And like 5 minutes later, CES calls and said, would you like to be our ambassador next year? So now she's the ambassador. She's been here twice.
I have some inside scoop, though. Yeah, yes. No, one, she is into social media. She's really into that. But it happens that the same agency represents CES.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. I mean, like,
you
that's
know, I
fine.
Gotta tell
hey,
you,
that's
you
fine.
Hollywood types, you got it all wired. Like, if you're with ICA, and then it's all wired. And it's like, I'm standing up here in Northern California looking down and going, what the hell? You know, so I get it. I need to get a big-time agent down
there.
No,
you do not.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Trust me. We all know it's all about doing it on your own, right?
That's,
do it yourself.
As far as I'm concerned. Congratulations, by the way, because earlier this year, CBS and you had a little falling out.
Yeah, we had a falling out, but we decided to do it on our own.
And you kept doing it.
We kept doing it.
And I bet you're happier
and
not having
and
the big brother looking over your
exactly.
shoulder.
Exactly. I think we've proved a model that you have already established,
so proud of you, Shira.
Which is doing it on your own. I like to say it's the DIY movement.
A lot of people would have just said, all right, screw it.
But the thing, when
and
you're
you
passionate
didn't.
About it, and the fact is, I would be hired to be doing this for people, so why not at a certain point
yourself.
Just do it on your
yeah.
own? Why am I waiting for someone to create the project for me?
And you're doing well?
Yeah, so
good.
We increased our viewership. We are going to be back again. I mean, we're doing live specials from everything from CES. We're doing it with Vizio sponsoring our
good.
CES live stream
good.
Here. At Vizio TV, follow them on Twitter. And then South by Southwest, we're also going to be doing live shows, coming back for season 2 in
fantastic.
February. We're verticalizing, launching a politics show.
You built
show.
A beautiful studio. Oh, you're going to do a politics show. This
yes.
is something I've eyed but have not dared do.
I'm threatening.
Well, I'm not going to be necessarily hosting all the shows,
no,
just
no,
like
no.
you.
You've got a studio. You've got people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I think that's a great... I think I'm just so happy for
you. Well, you're an inspiration.
But, you know, I could have told you, because every time we try to do this dance with old media, they don't get it. And in the
well,
long
you
run,
do partnerships. Listen.
It's an impedance mismatch.
Listen, you could do partnerships, but you need to live on your own platform and be independent,
yes.
because how are you going to do things overnight or control the platform? Right? Like, we couldn't even, to add a like button, to even add a like button would take months to go through the
committee.
System.
Yeah.
Right?
The board.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So if people go to whatstrending.com.
We have daily blogs on the site. We have our live streams, our live broadcasts. So keep in touch at What's Trending on Twitter as well. We go live through live stream and Ustream. We're What's Trending across the board. So anything .com/What's Trending is typically ours. YouTube.com/What's Trending.
Are you going to do more live things like this?
Yeah.
Do South By?
Yes, South By, Southwest. We want to do Comic-Con. We want to do anything that you could say is trending, which is the pulse of culture where everyone is at. We want to be live from.
Good.
It's like the talk show for the digital age. It's more obvious. Like, listen, you own the niche for the techies, right?
Yeah, and this is what I want to just kind of stay with. So I'm not threatened by somebody like you because you're covering culture. You're covering.
We're
geeks.
And we're new. Like, some of us are geeks, but we're not geeks, like, as geeky compared to probably
you. We're intentionally hardcore.
We asked the phone manufacturer what kind of chips in there.
Yeah, and threw her completely. Wasn't that
broad.
Funny?
Yeah. We're more broad. Well, we're more you would say, it's more mainstream.
Absolutely.
But that's fine. There's a place for everything. I mean, but we are inspired by the models that you guys have
started. No, and it should be because, I mean, it's not just geeks. This is the future of broadcasting. And it's great to sit here in our Sky booth and be able to do this completely independently and be supported by CES, supported by sponsors like Ford, and it really is exciting. Speaking of sponsors, I've got to take a break. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah,
sweetheart,
thank you.
So great to see you.
Yes,
WhatsTrending.com with Shira Lazar. Live shows every Tuesday. And, of course, today from 12:30 to 5:30.
Tomorrow 11 a.m. to noon. So check it out, everyone. Please keep up to date with everything.
Yeah.
And you rock. And
work.
Leo.
You rock.
No, you rock.
No, you rock. And I've decided to hire Runkle, the guy from Californication. He's going to be my agent. The bald guy. I think he's perfect.
We need to do more. We'll do more partnerships together.
Well, if I pop by at your stage, can I wave at you?
The thing is, we're at the Venetian.
Oh.
I might
have to get over there because that's where the PMA is.
When do you have some free time?
Right after. We're doing Home Theater Geeks 12:30 to 2:30.
Oh, so afterwards. Why don't you stop by? Text me.
My whole crew, I see all these tweets about, we got the big Humvee today. Oh, we're in the limousine. I bought a monorail 3-day pass.
Oh,
and it's great.
Saves time.
I can get anywhere I want to go in Las Vegas. I just get on the monorail.
Have you been going to parties? I saw your path.
No,
I saw a pillow.
I went to bed last night at 9.
Me too.
I was so happy.
I didn't go 9, but this is kind of rare for me. I'm not even drinking that much.
I didn't know, but somebody named Robert Scobel told us that Qualcomm had a Matchbox 20 concert last night. You didn't go to that?
I can't, honestly, my days are so packed right now that it's not worth it.
This is what I've learned after, 20 years of doing this, is you really have to pace yourself.
Yeah.
If you stay out every night, by Friday, you're going to be
there. South by Southwest, the sponsor at the end was like, you kind of look a bit,
ragged.
Ragged.
The sponsor's saying that?
And I was what do you expect? One, I don't have a hair and makeup person. But, it does. It wears
Shira Lazar, you never looked ragged in your life. You're the most beautiful woman in
showbiz. Well, this is hair and makeup, my friends.
No. You have
many cameras.
Except for this picture right on the front of What's Trending, where you're going like this. And we go,
That was for my music of the year, anyway.
That was awesome. This is great. Thank you, Shira. It's always good to see you. Always a pleasure to see you. Take care.
Take care.
Have a great show today. I'm going to try to get over to the Venetian. I have to go to PMA.
Text
you, sweetheart.
Please text me.
I'll have my guys, the guys at ICM, call your guys at CAA, and we'll get it all. Are you ICM or CAA?
Oh, we don't need to talk about that right now.
I, in my whole career, never had an agent and proud of it. Never had a manager.
Every time I have an agent, we end up doing our deals on our own.
Exactly.
And
it's
then
the
we
worst.
Wonder why we have it.
And it's then you give them 10%. It's the worst.
Yeah, no, and then I just don't. I'm just going against the whole system.
Good.
There you go, people.
Independent. The well newly done. Independent Shira Lazar showing what it takes. Thanks, Shira. It's good to see you.
How many times are we going to say
We're
that?
Done. You may leave now. You may go. This show brought to you by Squarespace.com. I always like to do Squarespace ads with Alex Lindsay sitting next to me because he's the biggest Squarespace fan in history.
I use it
for our blog, inside.twit.tv, but you use it for everything.
Everything. And the thing is that we've done all the different things you do with Squarespace. We've added e-commerce to some of our sites. We've added a lot of custom CSS.
That's something I wanted to ask. So you can do e-commerce on a Squarespace.
If you go to dvgarage.com and you go to order products, that's in Squarespace, and that's a company that has
Just for Squarespace.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they do it for everything, but they have a system for that. And so we use it for, as a DB Garage has it, and it, as I said, it's pretty basic except for the e-commerce. Pixelcore uses it for our main site. And there's a ton of custom CSS, so all the, you know, stuff that we wrote for that. But then
you
go to my blog.
Have to.
My blog, bordersack.com or whatever, which I don't
That's
go
just
to
a
as often.
Vanilla.
That's vanilla. That was 4 hours on a Saturday afternoon. I built the whole blog. Just kind of noodling about and pushing things around because I was like, I should have a blog. And I don't, even though I don't use it that much.
That's what's fun about Squarespace.
It was so
totally
easy and so powerful. And
totally
and
do that.
Like, oh, I want my Amazon click-throughs, which don't make any money now because I'm in California. But not that I'm bitter.
No, they changed that.
Oh,
they made
they
a deal. Yeah, they made a deal with the Secretary of State. You can now get your click-throughs again.
Very good. But all of that stuff was like, I don't have to write anything. I don't have to install anything. I don't want to know anything about that. I just want to put up my site and have somewhere that I can go.
Everything you need. Yes, we're going to show that in a second. It's everything you need. The hosting plus the software. Just world-class software running on top of the best hosting there is and at a very affordable price. But here's the deal. If you go to squarespace.com right now, first thing I would do is do the tour. Maybe look at the example sites so you get a sense of what it can do. This is my camera. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. It's the one with a big yellow X and plus on it. Like, look at me. I'm fooled by this one. I don't know what that camera is. It's just some other camera. Never mind. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to wake you. So squarespace.com/. No, just go to squarespace.com. Click the squirrel. Just click the green try it free button. And you can try it absolutely free without a credit card or anything. You just need the name of the site, an email address, and a password. And you get the full Squarespace. They really want you to see what it's capable of. You know, the Flickr plugins, the Twitter and Facebook plugins. It's just the great templates. All of that, click your mouse, drag and drop, and it's so easy. If you get something you like and you say, gee, you know, this should be my blog. And by the way, you can import all of your content from your WordPress, your TypePad, your Blogger. Blogs, it goes straight over. They have a movable type. They have complete support for the API, including all the images, all the links, all the SEO is preserved. All the comments can be in and out, so you're never trapped. If you decide you want to buy, and this is the only message I have for you, you see that code at the bottom of the screen, CES1, use that. You'll get 30% off for the first 3 months. That's a very good deal. 30% off any of the Squarespace packages for 3 months, but you got to use the offer code CES and the number 1, and that's only if you decide to buy. Do give it a try. Squarespace, the secret behind exceptional websites like yours.
They're great.
Alex Lindsay was at the Digital Experience on Monday night.
Yeah, it was great.
And
apparently, how did you like the Digital Experience?
I didn't get in, and I'm glad I didn't because now I've seen the video of you riding the electric bull.
It's a little ugly.
Oh, is that your hat?
They gave me a hat.
That's the goofiest hat I ever
saw. I know, but I had to wear it. I was going to go on
this. I'm glad I couldn't get in because I would have done this.
I had to do it. All night, I waited until we were done.
I've always
wanted
to do this.
I was like, I don't want to. So then he's explaining to me.
Is that a real cowboy?
Yeah, he seemed to know what he was doing.
Wave your arm. Yeah,
wave your arm, and I'm like, wow. And I've never done this. So then you see me go, what the?
Now somebody's using a joystick, so they control how bad it is. And at first, they give you a little bit of an itty bitty ride, but watch.
Okay, he's hanging on.
You're doing good.
Well, and it felt like I was up there for a lifetime. I mean, it was just
now that looks easy. Come on, that's easy.
What? Yeah.
Isn't it?
No. No, it's not easy. It's really slippery. So the thing that you're sitting on is like super slick.
They shouldn't do that.
And then you just see me just go, okay, I'm going to get off now. Okay, I'm done. That was at least 8 seconds. And when I got off, I literally didn't know if I'd been on for 8 seconds or 30
it
seconds.
It didn't seem that long, did it?
It was
so funny. And your back, how's that feeling now?
My back is now, yesterday it was a surfboard. I mean, I couldn't move.
Everything
a
for
workout.
A reason.
I was like, I should get one of those for the back. That should be my workout.
I am so glad, because if I had gone to that event.
You would have done it.
There's no way I would not have done that. And I would be, now I would be like this.
I'm Leo Laporte.
All right, you're a bigger man than I am. Thank you, Alex Lindsay, for filling in here. Coming up this week in computer hardware, Ryan Shroud is here. We're going to get Patrick? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yes. Yay. I'm so excited. and Ayaz Akhtar. So we've got a great This Week in Computer Hardware. Do stay tuned. We continue our live coverage all day long. TNT is coming up at 2:30. And between Twitch and TNT, we have a very special home theater geek. Scott Wilkins and I are going to roam the television aisles, show you all the latest displays, all the new technologies. We even have an interview with Alan Parsons, an engineer for the Beatles at Abbey Road, engineer for Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, a guy, the Alan Parsons Project, remember that great music? This guy has been recording big, great albums for 50 years. Imagine the changes he's seen. We'll talk to Alan Parsons later this afternoon. I'm very excited. So let's take a break, and we're going to get ready right now for This Week in Computer Hardware.